In this episode of the Critic Corner, I got to talk about Attack on Titan.
Look at it this way, Armin. It's a golden opportunity. I mean, if we prove our worth as soldiers right here, we'll rise up right through the ranks. Before long, we could even be leading our own regiment. We could bypass rookie status altogether.
Sounds good. I'm with you all the way.
Now, boys. You're not the only ones in your class. Save some of the glory for the rest of us.
Good luck beating us to the punch a second time, Aaron. No head starts for you this round.
Is that a challenge?
Listen up. Whoever kills the most Titans gets bragging rights.
Better not fudge your scores.
Squadron 34, move out! The Vanguard needs support!
Right! Give them hell!
Overwhelmed.
I don't believe this. Those guys always talk so big.
I thought things would be hairy, but this is insane.
We've got an abnormal. Hold on.
If that clip did not make you curious about this at all, I don't know what else will without spoiling it. So there's no spoilers here, and because I love being surprised with something, I'm recommending you watch this show because the final season is upon us and it's headed to the history books, quite literally. There's a YouTuber named Giguk. I have my reservations about him. He and I do not agree on anything politically, but he did do a great essay regarding Attack on Titan. So if you have seen seasons 1, 2, and 3, I recommend you give it a view. I'm actually going to leave a link down below so you can see it for yourself. But if you haven't seen Attack on Titan and you're first hearing it for the first time, do not watch his video because he spoils everything from seasons 1 through 3, and it removes the surprising element of the twists and turns of the show and how it develops right before your eyes. Because it's great to be able to experience something for the first time where you think you know where the story is going and it doesn't go anywhere where you believe it might go. That is the beauty of this show. That and the fact that it's unforgiving. When this show first came out in 2013-ish, some people try to describe it as if you like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, you're going to love this show. It's on a league of its own, honestly, because that's the only thing that people could ever try to compare it to. What they mean is it has a survival horror element of The Walking Dead because you have these giant humanoid things that are craving human flesh, and not for sustenance, just literally for the sport of it. And then you have the unforgiving element of and the political intrigue of Game of Thrones. So that's true to that sense. Also throw in House of Cards with all that. But it's unique on its own because it's more of a coming of age type thing. Because the premise or the setting of the world that's inhabited by these characters, it's where these characters live behind these giant walls. So think of it as a birdcage of sorts, because they live behind these giant walls. They know it's an outside world, but they're kept inside. And that's for their protection, because outside those walls are these ravaging, flesh-eating creatures called Titans. They're in various different sizes. And some of them are so-called abnormal because they show more intelligence, because normally these things are like mindless zombies, literally. But there are some that inhibit a lot more intelligence than otherwise is assumed. So that's what leads to the mystery of what the flip these things are, because they don't harm animals. They just literally want to eat humans. It's almost like someone's using them to target the humankind. That's foreshadowing. So when we have the that's the setting, but the The point of all of this, through the eyes of our protagonists, which are Eren Jaeger, Armin Arlert, his friend, who's a coward but also really smart, and then his girl that is a friend, Mikasa Ackerman, who is proficient in martial arts, stoic and the strong silent type, as they call him. Then we have our main character, Eren, who is a brash, impulsive guy. So there are three army regiments that the recruits can choose to go into if they rank among the top students. And that would be the Servant Corps, the Garrison, and the Military Police. And most of every character wants, most of everyone that joins the recruits wants to go to the Military Police because that's the most internal area of these borders that they have. So in other words, the most protected area in their inhabited world. So that means if they're ever overrun by these giant monster things, the best place to be is the center, which is the Military Police. The other one up would be the Garrison. They're like, kind of like a stationary guard that guard the walls, so don't see action beyond that. And in this case, since there's an attack that's actually happening on the walls, they don't really want to be in that area. But then you have the Survey Corps. They're not just at the front lines. They're called Survey Corps because they go beyond the walls to go explore the enemy and the terrain and all that, so they can analyze and prepare and study, so they can become better equipped and better prepared for the next round of attacks. But after 100 years of victory or peace, a lot of people have let their guard down. So in essence, it's kind of like that moment when Batman fights against Bane for the first time in The Dark Knight Rises. It's like, oh, peace has cost you your strength. Victory has defeated you. You could kind of think of it that way because many rested on their laurels, to which is why they got caught off guard when the attack finally happens. Well, to get to the point of things, Eren Jaeger, he ranks in the top students. And every student that the recruits that they rank all the way up there, they're like, okay, great, we could all choose to go to the Military Police. And Eren is like, I'm going to go to the Survey Corps. It's like, why? It's like, because I want to fight the Titans. I'm not going to wait for them to come to me. I'm going to go to them. And therein goes the setup of who he is as an idealist, so to speak. Who he is as a motivator and a leader. He wants to take the fight to the Titans. Mostly driven by revenge, but not just revenge. But because he also has been trapped inside the walls for so long and has been controlled by fear. It's like, there's more to this world than just this. Behind these walls, to live in a this false idea of peace, when in fact we are prisoners behind our walls and we can only obtain our freedom by fighting for it. Give me liberty or give me death, as Patrick Henry once said. That's basically Eren's determination to go fight and win against the Titans, which is what motivates a lot of the main cast, and what motivates me as an individual, because the story is incredible. Every character is so well drawn out, so real. This isn't your typical anime that has cliches and all that, not by a long shot, which is what makes this thing so unique. It's character driven, has great lore, great history, even awesome world building. That's probably the best thing, world building. That's why when you think you got a pulse on things, then you get a little surprised. And just as the story keeps going, even in season 2 and 3, there's so many surprises and just like, where the flip is this thing going? The fact that you can gasp, you can get horrified, you can laugh, you can cry, you can hide behind your pillow or the sheets, however you're watching this, you know, that's the kind of intensity this show builds. And it's not only maintained the momentum, it's built upon it. And it fires on all cylinders. Literally, the cast in the original Japanese language is so fantastic. The musical score is just miles out of this world. It's awesome. The writing is off the charts. This dude, I can't think of his name right now, but he's younger than me when he started writing. He was like 26 years old when he started writing it, and he thought for sure he was ended on a downer, big downer, according to what he said. But because this thing became bigger than anything and was the first manga to ever beat the first place manga, which is One Piece in Japan. I think it went for like a month or whatever. But the point is, One Piece is the sustained number one thing, and Attack on Titan was able to beat it for a time, goes to the power of this original story that has resonated with so many people. And you get engrossed in this world, and I highly recommend it. I think it's so timely. I recommended it to people as soon as we went to lockdown here in California. And I told them this is what you should be watching in lockdown, because as of this recording, Netflix has only the first season. But if you can get your hands on the second and third season, you will not regret it. Everything comes to place. You cannot jump in mid-story. This thing all builds upon itself. And there's even extra episodes that are not available on the main seasons. You kind of have to explore to get those, because it fills in some gaps, give backstory to some of the beloved characters and this and that. But it all is necessary to paint this important picture of the narrative. And it's just incredibly well detailed and so well done. I mean, the animation's amazing for what is considered a TV show. The budget is off the charts on this thing. One of the things for why it lost momentum in terms of ratings, though, is because there was a long drought between the two seasons, the first two. I think they were separated by like 4 or 5 years. So there was a lot of audience that kind of fell out that didn't pick up the manga. But season three, which also had a bit of a truncated season, but then came back to be able to finish it, is gonna follow the momentum of the third season, because the final season is picking up right on time within a year, and it's gonna finish the story because the manga's done, basically. So it's gonna end, and based on all the ones that have basically kept up with the manga, like they say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Then I'm like, where can it go from season three? It's like, how much crazier is this gonna get? And believe me, you'll laugh, you'll cry, but you're gonna love it either way. So I recommend Attack on Titan, and there's a reason why it's become one of my top 10 favorite TV shows of all time. And it hasn't even finished. And I have a rule, I do not watch something that hasn't finished. This was an exception. I'm so glad I wrote it out. And oh my goodness, I can't wait to see this story reach its conclusion and possibly finishing a tissue box with it. So I'll see what happens then. But anyway, that's it for this episode of the Creator Corner. Andres recommends Attack on Titan. See you in the next one.